looks like there was a little bit of a change in the program. Maureen just kind of brought to my attention that she had to change the song, so that's why there's two different sheets instead of one. I had both of them in the back, but it looks like she just changed the songs around. So before we begin, I just want to let you know that I've been doing this for a few years, and my format's a little bit different. I know Art said that you guys usually have like a prayer or different things like that, so my format's just a little bit different, but we are going to follow what we have here on the paper. And what I really would like to do is just start with, these are crystal singing bowls. And so we'll just take a moment and just kind of tune into the crystal singing bowl, and then we're going to begin with the opening prayer. And if all of us can do that, okay. I don't know if you can hear it. It's still resonating in the background. It does it for a while. It's kind of a neat, it's a really neat sound. All right. So welcome. This is so cool being in the sanctuary. We're usually in the chapel, so thank you, Maureen, for saying you had to use the piano tonight. Can we begin by doing the opening prayer together? As we gather in the sacred space this evening, we open our hearts and ignite our spirits with passion, purpose, and power to be open to the truths of who we are, what we know, and who we're becoming as one people. For we listen with our hearts and know in our soul the truth that has been with us from the beginning of our incarnation. Amen. So tonight I'm going to ask that you travel into the recesses of your mind to a time long, long ago, to a time when Mary Magdalene was not the downtrodden outcast of society, but a shining human example of one of Yeshua's and Jesus's devoted disciples. I stand before you in awe of the great deeds and sacrifices this godly woman beheld, in the name of what she believed in and what she stood for. It is my hope that during this Lenten season, and with commencing of this service, that her story and her teachings create a wellspring of knowledge that pours forth, bubbling over into all the areas of your life to create a forward movement of healing, forgiveness, and peace within. And this following is a passage taken from Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, by Claire Hartsong, and I'm just going to read that. I have reached the inner vision, and through thy spirit in me, I have heard thy wondrous secret. Through thy mystic insight, thou hast caused a spring of knowledge to well up within me. A fountain of power, pouring forth living water, a flood of love, and of all-embracing wisdom, like the splendor of eternal light. Tradition hands us the image of Jesus Christ's final days, where three figures stand at his feet. Three central people whose teachings will go out into the world: Mother Mary, John the Apostle, and Mary Magdalene. Tonight, we are strictly going to focus on Mary Magdalene. Can we at all identify what lived within Mary Magdalene and her connection to Jesus Christ at the cross? Mary Magdalene did not exactly agree with proselytizing or preaching to the masses. Her experience with the divine was a little different. Perhaps her experience was not something she could actually preach about. And so she focuses instead on the inner world of initiation. We imagine that through gnosis or direct knowing that she seeks union with the divine. Hers is the path of the sacred marriage accomplished within. And her path emphasizes inner preparation, introspection, and inner transformation. In addition, she represents the feeling world. She carries the sensitivity of sensuality in the truest meaning of the word, finding the divinity in the senses. Mary Magdalene's presence at the crucifixion and the tomb also indicates her comfort and her familiarity with death. Perhaps this is why she is often depicted and seen with the skull, because that becomes her identity. In fact, Golgotha, where Christ was crucified, actually means the skull. Mary Magdalene is often seen with ointments and unguents, and as she prepares Jesus Christ for his death, it is said that she uses these as parts of the preparation. Jesus actually tells his disciples he's okay with this preparation for his death. This kind of statement acknowledges that Jesus is aware of her level of knowledge in this area versus some of the other disciples. We may ask ourselves, how can Mary be given this type of authority while also keeping in mind that the very word Christ means anointed, or the Christed one, anointed one? This reveals to us that Mary Magdalene has been assigned the role as a female minister or a priestess for anointing. The following is a passage taken from Mark 14. While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at a table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves very indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me, for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could, and she has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you that wherever the gospel is proclaimed, in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." How is it that many of us do not revere and remember this memorial so clearly marked by her teacher? Why do most people know her as a reformed prostitute, whereas what seems more likely, she's actually a ministering priestess with deep understanding and threshold of the spirit world? There are many representations of Mary Magdalene, and we can see her as one who has been cleansed from sin, one who remains with Christ throughout his death upon the cross, and one who first witnesses, understands, and believes in Christ's resurrection. Perhaps she represents a human being who is open and available to true inner knowing, and who can see in deeper and clearer ways the spiritual connection to both earthly death and the divine. And now I'd like to read to you from the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. I will now speak to you of that which has not been given to you to hear. She says this to Peter upon his request to learn what she learned from the teacher. I had a vision of the teacher, and I said to him, Lord, I see you now in this vision. And he said to me, for you are blessed, for the sight of me does not disturb you. There within the noose lies the treasure. Whereas Peter and the apostles have heard the word, they had not attained vision such as she had. Although the voice of mortals is meant for the ear, the word of God, like light, is meant to be seen. Moses sees the promised land from afar, as told in Deuteronomy 34:4. God tells Moses, I have made you see with the eyes, but you shall not enter here. She says, Lord, I see you now in this vision. She's addressing what she sees, and what she sees addresses her. There within the noose lies the treasure. We come to know that to mean, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But in the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, there is no difference between the treasure and the noose. That which part of ourself is the treasure. The noose is the treasure. An inner element that the disciple has no need to acquire through some moral action, but something that he and she already possesses within, and by nature must also be discovered. Furthermore, the noose represents far more than the individual or personal soul. There within the noose lies the treasure. In other words, we become what we love, and we become what we know, which is our desire for becoming, or for being, because it's that desire which is in itself us. I'm going to say that again. We become what we love, and we become what we know, which is our desire for being, because it is that desire which is in itself us. As Meister Eckhart says, the eye in which I see God is the eye in which God sees me. Then I said to him, Lord, when someone meets you in a moment of vision, is it through the soul, CK, that they see? Or is it through the spirit, pneuma? The teacher answered, it is neither through the soul nor through the spirit, but the noose between the two, which sees the vision, and it is this which. Now here's where I need you to think about this one. It is neither through the soul nor through the spirit, but the noose between the two which sees the vision, and it is this which. Which is true for you? Is it the noose that feels? Is it the noose that sees? Is it the noose that intuits, imagines, knows, loves, is aware? That is for you to figure out. That is your answer. You complete the rest of that sentence. Do I say amen again? Amen. So we're going to close now with a guided meditation on communication with the divine. And I'm going to ask that you close your eyes and get comfortable. Probably not too comfortable, though, because I still want you aware for the meditation. And allow your imagination to guide you through this exercise. And I want you to know that there is no one way to see, feel, or hear, as mentioned before, for your way is the right way. And I also just want to let you know right before we begin that the breathing and the breath that we're going to do is you're going to breathe in, but then you're going to exhale very gently, like just kind of stop and then exhale. So it's like you're going to breathe in, and then you're going to exhale just a little bit, and then stop, and a little bit more, stop, and a little bit more, and stop. And what that does is it does bring you down into a place of relaxation so that you might be able to get a little bit more out of this meditation. So sit comfortably with your spine straight and close your eyes. Take a deep breath and exhale by forcing all the air out of your lungs. Take a deep breath and exhale a little and then stop. And then exhale a little bit more and stop. And exhale a little bit more and stop. And then just exhale the rest. Now take a slow, deep breath, and as you exhale, I want you to see, sense, or feel an image of a chalice. This can be a chalice that you know or one that exists in your imagination. When you sense that you're holding on to your chalice, I want you to take a deep breath, and as you exhale, notice that your chalice is transforming into a woman. I want you to take another deep breath, and as you exhale, the woman becomes a bit clearer. And then when you take this last deep breath, as you exhale, you now know that this woman to be Mary Magdalene. She greets you with a loving embrace, and you breathe in the love that she is embracing you with. She asks how she can be of assistance to you, and you ask her to help you communicate in a loving and healthy way. She smiles and tells you for that to happen, you need to want to communicate from your heart. Is this what you are wanting? She asks you, and you say yes. From out of her dress, she produces a jar of exquisite beauty. She opens the jar, and you smell a strong, pungent, and refreshing aroma that she wafts the jar about, scenting the air with the unguents within. She tells you that the connection between your heart and mind needs to be strengthened, but first you need to make the commitment that all your communication will be loving. And so if you can state that within to yourself under your breath or in your mind's eye, state your commitment now in your own words. I now commit that all my communications will be loving. In your mind's eye or under your breath, you speak this from your heart and you tell Mary Magdalene exactly what you are committing to. I now commit communications to be loving. She repeats this after you, and you say yes. She dips her finger in the oil and anoints you on the crown while stating your commitment and blessing it. Now I will strengthen the connection between your center of wisdom, which is in the middle of your forehead above your eyes, in the middle of your forehead, which vibrates when it becomes anointed. She dips her finger into the oil and she first anoints your heart, which tingles as it is anointed. And then she anoints above your eyes and the middle of your forehead, connecting the two. She dips her finger into the oil once more and slowly and carefully draws the line connecting the two areas. And you immediately feel a new pathway open up between the centers of love and wisdom in your body, almost as if it was created in your physical body. Lastly, she says, I will connect to the love-wisdom pathway to the throat so that you can facilitate your speaking from a place of love and wisdom. As she dips her fingers into the oil and connects the pathway to your throat area, you feel your throat open wide with an accumulation of the energies of love and wisdom there. You feel a calm centeredness also surrounding your throat, and a quiet knowing that speaking for you will be different from now on. Telling you she is finished, Mary Magdalene asks if there is anything else needed, and you respond accordingly, and you may take a moment now and do that. Then she asks you to give her something. And the nature of your gift reveals itself in the moment, whatever that is right now that you want to give to her as a gift. Give it to her with an open heart. You close with an embrace and a kiss of peace. Mary Magdalene disappears, and it is time now for your visit to end. Be in a state of gratitude for this experience and this connection. Take a deep breath and exhale slowly once again, bringing your attention to your feet. Take a deep breath and exhale once again and feel the chair under your body. Noticing the sound of my voice. And take another deep breath, and when you feel ready, open your eyes. And welcome back. I have a little receptacle here with some oil, an anointing oil. And so when you leave, you're more than welcome to dip your finger in it and put it somewhere on your body or just smell it. I'll put it right here. And I'm going to sing the crystal singing bowl once again. We'll close with the prayer. We'll say the closing prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, give us the sight to see, the ears to hear, your grace, your beauty, the truth of our own divinity for the rest of our days. In your name we pray. Amen. And I just want to ask you to just take a moment, you don't have to do it now, but to read the information on the flyer on the back. Well, actually, it's not on the back, is it now? It's a separate flyer for the Cakes of the Queen of Heaven. And just let me know if anybody's interested in learning more about the women of the Bible and the different roles and stuff. It's really fascinating when you get digging into this sort of stuff. So thank you for giving me this opportunity tonight.
Very nice. Yes, I thought I would check out.
Yeah, you can just dip your finger in there and you might. Oh, very nice. Good. Thank you. Glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. It was very, very nice. You have. Very cool.
Why did you stop by the house? I have some stuff to show you.
Okay.
My sister does ornamentation better than any of the pianists I've ever heard.
I really do.
She's still my favorite. I mean, there's Palomar piano, and there's good classical piano, but she has her own
Oh, yeah, I know. It's good to be.